So how about that worship team, you guys? They're gone. I don't know about you, but I don't know. There's just something about coming into worship with that heart that's heavy and having someone get up here and lead us to a place where we can be open and thankful and loving. And that means a lot to me. I do want to give a quick update. Amy had mentioned our yarn bin in the back. I counted, and we currently have 13 hats and 4 scarves in that bin to donate. Right? How awesome is that? So I'm thinking maybe that the first Saturday in November, we're going to make a plan to go out, put our scarves and hats up. My plan is to have a sign-up sheet together by next week. We'll see how that goes. So, for the past few weeks, we have been going through our Gracefully Broken sermon series. Now, tonight, I am going to wrap up this sermon series. I'm going to be bouncing around a little bit tonight. Bear with me. I think that what I'm trying to say is going to come across, but we'll see. So, you guys know that sometimes, in order to get where God wants us to be, we have to be flexible. We have to break a little. We have to surrender. Tonight, I am going to talk about gracefully surrendering. I'm going to talk about something a little bit scary as well. I'm going to talk about obedience. I know, right? Not typically everybody's favorite subject, that O word. Now, I cannot think of too many people who like the thought of having to surrender or be obedient. You know, the world today has taught us that surrendering and being obedient is bad. You know, you're supposed to be strong, you're supposed to be tough, you're supposed to stand up, be independent. Yeah. Right? But, hi Jody. Hey, I'm good, how are you tonight? Good? Yeah, you're full. Good. I wish. My tummy's rumbling just a little bit. But the thing is that one of the things that God asks of us is for surrender and obedience. Surrender ourselves unto him. Be obedient to his will. In John 14, verse 23, it says, Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them." Now, I don't know about you, but sharing a home with God pretty much sounds like one of the best things ever to me. You know, I feel like, I'm not saying it would be like a nonstop party, because I do think that he probably has his serious sides, but it would be like having nothing but like happy feelings with your family. You know, you can be with your siblings and it gets a little and I feel like having God in your home, it's going to be like a little piece of heaven, right? So God gave us a rule book that we're supposed to follow to be with him. And it's the best rule book ever. And I'm not talking about the Bible. I'm talking about Jesus. He gave us a man. A living, breathing man. His son. You know, Jesus told us to be kind. He said, love one another. Honor the Lord your God. Those don't feel like very, very hard rules to obey. I know they can be. There are definitely days where, you know, love each other gets a little strained. So, in James chapter 1, verses 23 through 27, there's another example of following God. of being obedient. It says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. There's a whole lot of corruption in the world. You hear it on the radio. You see it on TV, in movies, in everything, really, that's around. It feels like I can't drive down TV highway without seeing something that makes me go, oh, I hate seeing that. Whether it's a specific building or business or a billboard, it's everywhere. But right there where it says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. It's telling us to love each other. And not just each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't just love the Christians, okay? That's not what we're being asked to do. You know, we're supposed to love everybody. No matter what they've got going on, you know. God didn't tell us love your neighbor except that guy. So, thinking about the world corrupting you, we're supposed to let God tell us what's right, not the world. On a small side note, I will say I recently had a talk with a friend about grief. She had lost someone very dear to her quite a few years ago, but she's having some trouble. And she feels like she's been told she shouldn't still feel that grief. You know, the world has told her, you're done grieving, move on. And she doesn't feel that way. One of my absolute favorite quotes that I have ever read anywhere about grief says, grief changes shape, but it never ends. Keanu Reeves said that. Like the Keanu Reeves, right? How profound. It's amazing. He's one of my favorites, so I guess it works out. But I told this friend that even though, yes, it's been a few years, that grief, it's not going to go away. It's still going to live, you know, it's still going to be there. And I told her that what she needs to do is, instead of listening to what everyone else is telling her to do about that grief, you know, shove it down, it's not supposed to be there anymore, you can't grieve anymore, it's been too long, that she needs to listen to her heart and listen to God, and that's what's going to tell her when it's the time to be sad over the loss and when it's the time to rejoice over knowing who she was grieving. You know, God knows everything. He knows what the right thing is. He has perfect timing. We might not be able to see why something is happening, or we might feel like it's unfair. But God has a purpose for everything. Part of our purpose is to be His children. And I cannot think of a single parent who has ever thought, man, I wish my kids were more disobedient. There's not one. Not ever. One of the books in the Bible that really goes over obedience, I feel, or is a great big glaring example of disobedience, really, is Jonah. Does anybody remember the story of Jonah and the whale from Sunday school? Since that's typically where we talk about it, right? So the book of Jonah is all about a man who chooses to defy God and ends up paying the price for it. God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh and to tell them that God has decided that he is going to judge the city based on the wickedness that he sees there. Jonah decides to run in the opposite direction. He boards a boat. He heads out to sea. Jonah apparently doesn't know that God is not the one that you want to play hide and seek with. You won't win. He will find you. This big storm comes up on this boat. You know, the wind is raging. The waves are huge. There's rain. It's almost as if the ship is to be broken in half, is how big this storm was. The sailors start freaking out. What do we do? What do we do? They try throwing stuff overboard. They're like, hey, we've got a box of this. Let's throw it that way. That doesn't work. The captain goes down into below deck, the belly of the ship, ironically, and Jonah is asleep down there. He wakes Jonah up. He's like, why are you sleeping? How can you sleep right now? Get up, pray to your God, and ask him to save us. While that's happening, the sailors are up on deck of the boat, and they are casting lots. Casting lots is kind of like throwing dice or choosing straws, you know. It was thought of as a way that God would communicate with people. Now, the sailors decided that based on what these lots that have been cast say, that Jonah is to blame. The sailors asked Jonah who he is and what he's done. Jonah comes clean, surprisingly. What we know about Jonah so far doesn't seem like he would. But Jonah comes clean, saying, I ran away from God. I defied him. He says, throw me overboard. That'll solve your problems. The sailors are like, no, we're going to try something else first. They start rowing faster. So we've played hide and seek with God, and now we're trying to outrun God. Whenever I'm going over the story of Jonah, I always picture, you know, them rowing faster, like that scene in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, where they're going into the tunnel, and it's all the freaky pictures and the lights, yeah. And the rowers keep on rowing. Yeah. A little bit terrifying. I still have nightmares about that, by the way. That's not my favorite scene in any movie. But anyways, the rowing that they do, rowing faster and faster, it doesn't work because you can't outrun God. They end up throwing Jonah overboard anyways. Jonah sinks into the sea and is swallowed by a giant fish. He's stuck hanging out in the gastric juices of a giant fish for 3 days and 3 nights. I bet that smelled delightful. And I bet that fish thought that it had, like, horrible indigestion. Eventually, after 3 days, it would have taken me a lot less time than 3 days, by the way. Eventually, after 3 days, Jonah prays, and he's like, okay, I'll do what you asked. I'll go to Nineveh. The giant fish spits him out on shore, and Jonah heads to Nineveh to finally do as the Lord had commanded. Now, there's a lot more to the story of Jonah. He kind of has a very bad attitude, but if he had just been obedient from the get-go, he would not have had nearly so much trouble. He would not have risked the lives of those sailors, his own life as well. He could have done his task and gone on his way. God is willing to give us so much in life. But he does want us to love him. He does want us to be obedient. I mean, imagine the blessings that God pours on your life even before you take that step to become obedient. And then think about the blessings that were poured on your life after you took that step to follow God, to follow Jesus. For me, I mean, it's like world difference. It's crazy. I mean, yeah, my life still gets a bit chaotic and I still get tested quite a bit. But I know that I'm blessed. I can look at my life and see three beautiful children, a husband who works hard and loves me, who loves our children. I see family, this family, you know. It amazes me. I get to get up in the morning and go to a job that I actually enjoy. There's not a lot of people who actually work and love what they're doing. That amazes me every single day. Being obedient to God does mean surrendering to his will, giving ourselves up. Luke 9, verse 23 says, "Then he said to the crowd, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me.'" Give up your own way. Surrender. That's what it is. Surrendering to God does not mean that, you know, he's this harsh slave master that, oh, you've surrendered, your life is going to be fire and brimstone. No, it's the opposite. We can be obedient to God by following his son. I can tell you, you know, the fight, the daily battle that it is to surrender to God and be obedient is not easy. It is not the easy, straightforward path. If it were easy, everybody would do it. I definitely have days and conversations with God where we are butting heads. Well, really, it's me butting my head against a brick wall, is what it is. It's me arguing, saying, God, this isn't fair. I want it different. I don't want to do this. I resist. Most days, I try to be obedient. I mean, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I'm always obedient, because nobody does that. There's only one person who was obedient all the time. And even then, Jesus still had a moment where he said, Father, if it is of your will, let this cup be passed from my lips. Even the only perfect man, when faced with crucifixion, didn't want to do it. He did it because he was obedient, because he surrendered to God. I'm not saying that God is going to crucify you. That is not at all what I'm getting at. I'm also not saying that being obedient won't hurt. Sometimes you have to make tough choices. Sometimes you have to make choices that feel almost impossible. And you look at what God's asking you to do and you think, no, I don't want to, I don't want to. But it's so important to say yes to God. I've learned that saying yes to God takes me places and gives me things and people that otherwise I never, ever would have come across. When I quit my steady paying insurance job because I hated it and because I felt like, you know, God doesn't want me to be depressed. God doesn't want me to sit here wasting my life and feeling so miserable all the time. I could have stayed there. It was comfortable, you know? Aside from the depression, it was comfortable. But I didn't. I said, okay, we're done. And I walked away. And yeah, for a while, financially, we struggled. And it was hard. You know, there's struggling financially when you have three other small humans that you're supposed to be providing for, to me, is one of the most terrifying things in the world. You know, holding your breath every time you go to buy groceries or school supplies and going, oh, it's approved, and letting out that big sigh. For me, that was hard. But because I said yes, because I stepped out on the water and had faith, God brought me right here. I have a job that I love. We are financially secure-ish. I mean, there are definitely things I'd like. But I don't have to hold my breath when I go to the grocery store anymore. You know, if I see a new pair of shoes and I go, ooh, those are super cute, I think I love them, I can buy them. And that to me, I mean, it's a little thing, sure, but it's huge to me. And it's because I said yes. Because I was obedient. The same thing, I mean, even before I knew that what I was doing was saying yes to God, like Heather nagging and nagging me to come to church, and nagging and nagging and nagging. And finally I was like, whatever, fine, I'll come with you. Stop asking me about it. But because I said yes, I'm here. She drugged me to new vision. Literally, let's see, I think it was 6.5 years ago. She drugged me to new vision. And here I am. I cannot even imagine where I would be if I hadn't said yes. And, you know, I look back on it now and I go, ooh, that was a God thing. I see it. I see what you did there. I'm like, oh, high five. But I didn't see it at the time. I mean, I'm sure all of you can look back at parts of your life and go, oh, that was a God thing. Huh, funny thing there. And at the time, you don't see it, you know. You just think, oh, it was a coincidence. It's never a coincidence. God doesn't deal in coincidences. Now, this week, if you will please pull out your bulletins. You have your connection cards in there. Your next steps, again this week, they're pretty simple. First of all, fill out the front side with as much information as you feel comfortable with. You know, name, address, birthday. Is it your first time? Are you here because somebody invited you? Are you here every week and you just feel like saying hey? You know, fill out that front side and then flip it over. On the reverse side, there's a big square for prayer requests. I'm going to let you in on a secret about this group. We super love to pray. And we super love to pray for other people. So, you put your prayer request in that square, and we're going to pray for you. If you want it to just be a confidential prayer request, Pastor Carlene gets those. And she's the only one that gets them. So if your prayer request is confidential, rest assured, they're in good hands. Now there's that other box to the left of your prayer request. And that's where you can write down your next steps, what you are committing to doing going forward, whether it's this week, this month, this year, for the rest of your life, your choice. But your next step this week, I want you to open your ears. And I want you to open your heart. And I want you to listen for God speaking to you. I know sometimes it can be hard to tell whether it's God speaking to you or whether it's you speaking to you. And odds are, if the voice that you're hearing or the nudge that you're feeling is telling you to do something for the better of someone else, my guess is it's God. No guarantees. But that tends to be a lot of the stuff he does. Sometimes listening to God and hearing him comes from opening your Bible and reading. You know, maybe your eyes are drawn to a specific passage right away. Maybe that passage is there for you. You know, maybe what you see are one of those, I call them danger words. Because typically it means I'm in trouble or God is talking to me directly. And it's words like beware or listen to this. I get those. I like to do what I call a Bible flop. I literally hold my Bible like this. I open it and let it fall open. Wherever it falls open, I start reading. First thing my eyes hit on the page. I cannot think of a single time when I have done a Bible flop that I have not gotten something that directly applies to that point in my life right then. I know that if I'm having a hard time hearing God, that is my go-to. Because he has never failed me right there. Praying, always a great way to communicate with God. But listening, sometimes God speaks to you in the most unexpected ways. It can be a constant reminder about something. You know, you brush something off and then you see a commercial for whatever it is you've brushed off 6 times in like an hour and a half. And you're like, okay, I got it. You know, that's how we ended up donating to, I think it was St. Jude, because I had been going back and forth and back and forth. I was like, I don't know. I mean, I really want to help these kids, but our money is still a little tight. I don't know what to do. And then, I mean, within an hour, there were literally 6 St. Jude commercials. And at the end of the hour, there was one more. And I went, oh, 7, we're good. Okay, got it. And it just was like, okay, I'm awake. Thank you, God, for the reminder. Okay, we're here. But God is going to talk to you in a way that's going to be unique to you. It's not the same for everybody. It never is. I mean, how I read the Bible is going to be different than the way that Marcy reads the Bible. It's going to be different than the way that Bev reads the Bible. It's going to be different than the way Dawn reads the Bible. Yes, we're sitting there, we're reading, but what we're taking from that is going to be different because our lives are different. Because God is telling me something different than he's telling Dawn. So, what's going to come next? I'm going to pray, and then there's going to be a time of silence. Just a couple minutes. I want you to think. I want you to process. I want you to reach out to God. See if there's anything specific that he has on your for you to put on your heart right now. Open yourself up and let him in. After our few moments of silence, a few minutes of silence, the worship team is going to come back up and they are going to play a few more songs for us. During that time, communion is right up here. Please feel free, come up, take communion. Our offering vase, offering and tithing vase, is right here. The cross station, as always, is at the back left of the room. If you feel led to go and kneel at the foot of the cross, do it. Odds are, do not be surprised if someone comes and asks if you want them to pray for you. That's what we do. There's also a basket of rocks over there. We love our rocks, don't we? If you have a burden or a trouble, something heavy weighing on your heart, get one of those rocks. Place it at the foot of the cross. Just give it to God. Just give it over. We also have the two tables that are in the back. One has Bibles on it. Feel free to look for verses. If God led you in a specific direction for a verse, go look it up. I bet it has something good for you tonight. The other table has some art supplies. If that's how God is leading you to experience your worship, go ahead. We've got art supplies for you. So now I will pray. As always, remember that we at New Vision believe that you should be allowed to worship in whatever posture is comfortable for you. Standing and singing, sitting and praying, kneeling. We want you to be comfortable in your worship of God. We want you to be able to do it your way. It might get uncomfortable if God's leading it to be uncomfortable. That does happen. But we're going to do whatever we can to help make this a place where you can connect with God. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come before you today with this amazing, wonderful group of humans that I am blessed to call my church family. I am so very thankful for each and every one of the people in this room. I know that in this room there are hearts that are open and warm, and you've been living in those hearts. I know that there are some hearts that might be a little confused, might need a little bit more reassurance. God, I just ask that you fill this room with your Holy Spirit. Show us love. Surrendering is hard, but you make it feel okay. God, I just ask that as we head into this week, we are open, we are listening, we are surrendering. Your love is so amazing, Father. We are so thankful for it. I pray you bless each one of these people as they go through their week. Love them. Let them feel love. Let them show love. In your precious, amazing, perfect Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.